nation. Ahithophel being a counselor of David, but not just a counselor. They were intimate friends. They were not just, hey, can I get some advice from you? They were personal friends. They went to the temple together. They meant something very dearly to each other. And in this passage, as we read down through it, David is overwhelmed by the hurt and the injury that Ahithophel has brought to David. And we'll read down through it, keeping in mind the time frame is, it's a time of rebellion and anarchy. Absalom has decided he's going to try to steal the throne from his father, and he has launched a coup. And David is on the run. He has been for some time. And he's overwhelmed by the situation in front of him that is a no-win situation. Nobody comes out of it unscathed. Nobody wins. If he wins, it means Absalom doesn't win, and that means David doesn't win. If Absalom wins, it means he's now the king through a traitorous event. But how can you declare a victory when you have, at that point, would have had to have executed your own father? And he says this in Psalm 55, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them. Let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee." And let's just pray, Lord, help us tonight as we just spend a few moments together. Many that are here or home are under the weather with illnesses and injuries that are going around. Others are facing financial battles, others spiritual battles, others emotional, mental battles, God. And we are trying to do what we believe is the right thing to do and go to the Scriptures for help. To run to the Scriptures to find a fortress in which we can hide. And remind ourselves, according to this story, what we can do. We ask you just bless these thoughts tonight and help each one of us, beginning with me, Lord, that we might be in line with the Scriptures. We might trust in our God. We ask you to bless these thoughts in Christ's name. Amen. So as we said, it's a time of rebellion and anarchy, of great treachery. There's traitors running through the land, starting with Absalom, his son. And David is so overwhelmed. In verse 1, he is begging God to hear him. He says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise." In verse 4, he says, "My heart is sore pained within me." David's heartbroken over what's going on between him and his son. and him and his dear friend Ahithophel. He said, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. David said, this situation I'm in is, God, I need you to hear me on this. In verse 4, he says, my heart is broken because of this. And I would say it this way to sum up the end of verse 4. He said, I'm terrified at the perceived outcomes of this. In verse 5, he says, there's a couple of uninvited guests that have settled in. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. And horror hath overwhelmed me. It's just a transparent passage that the scripture is, that the psalmist is penning down. And he's saying, I'm consumed, I'm overwhelmed by a no-win situation. Fear and trembling weren't invited, but they're here. And in verse 6, I get what he's saying. Oh, that I had the wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. And you compare that to other birds in scripture or nature history. It's an admission on David's part. He's like, I've got no might like an eagle to fight. Got no strength to do battle. But he says, I wish I just had a dove's wing. And then I'd fly away and find peace. In verse 7, he says, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. David's saying, I just want it to be over. And to say I would remain in the wilderness, David is saying, I would give it all up. I'd give up the kingdom, the palace, the riches, the fame. I'd give up everything for this battle to be done. In verse 8, he says, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. David's saying, I wouldn't even take time to say goodbye. Wouldn't take time to pack anything up. If I could sprout wings and fly, I would fly because I see there is a windy storm, there is a tempest, there is a storm a-brewing, and it is fierce. And David said, I'd like to be able to fly out, outfly the storm to calmer skies. In verse 9, he says, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. It's referring to the council. He's saying, God, I hope that you confound or you confuse the counsel that my son is being given by Ahithophel. Ahithophel was the dear friend and counselor of David. The scriptures say when Ahithophel spoke, it was as if God himself were speaking. It's how well Ahithophel knew God and how close to God and the king he was. And when word came to David that Ahithophel is the advisor of Absalom, he knows that if Absalom is getting advice from a man that is very wise and discerning, the battle could not turn out so well. Ahithophel was a man of great wisdom and discernment. And he's saying, God, divide that, confuse it, mix it up. Don't let his words come to fruition in the ears of Absalom. In verse 10, he says, day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. He has either had received report or he has spied it out. He is watching, or his men are, the city of Jerusalem, that beloved hometown of David. And it's gone from that city of righteousness to a stronghold for wickedness. And David said, I'm watching it being paraded on the walls. In part, if you read the whole story in the Samuels, Ahithophel, who was the godly, intimate counselor of David, comes to Absalom, and one of the things he tells Absalom to do to get back at David is to take David's concubines up on the roof of the palace and to fornicate in the eyes of all the people. It's not too far off from what David did a spell prior to this season in his life, but he did it privately with Bathsheba and others. And it seems like Ahithophel is telling Absalom here, before we get done, you'll see this, Ahithophel is just using Absalom. He's trying to injure David. And he said, I'm going to take David's past and I'm going to get his son to throw it in his face and to parade it in front of all of Israel and to shame and wound David. In verse 12, he makes it clear that it's not an enemy or a foreigner or someone that was a soldier coming against him that was an opponent. He said, if that was the case, I could have run, I could have hid, I could have fought. Verse 12, it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. And then he says a direct statement to Ahithophel. It's a personal matter for David, but it was thou. A man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. David is being open here in the writing of this, just saying the weight of these wounds, or what gives such depth to the wounds, is the source of it. We've talked about it more than once in recent months, that the greatest injuries we will sustain in life will more than likely come from members of God's family or members of blood family. In verse 14, you see just how tight their bond was. That the man who he took sweet counsel from, the man he walked together with into worship, has now become a traitor. This is his response in verse 16. As for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me. David wasn't always there, but David has gotten to the position where he said, all of the schemes that are going on the other side will not be met by schemes on my side. He said, all of the plotting going on will not be met by counterplots or attacks. I am committing this to the Lord. Verse 17 says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Why such the deep wound? And those that have heard this psalm or are familiar with it know the story and know what I'll reference, but why such the personal wounds of that David is receiving? Why such deep betrayal? Why such treachery and treason that Ahithophel is on a personal level going after David? In Psalm 55, we see the grievous injuries that David has received from Ahithophel. It's obvious Ahithophel hates David. It's a personal nature to his advice that he's giving to Absalom. That he wants to use Absalom to publicly shame David, to launch and to throw his past failures into his face. At this stage in his life, David has repented of what he has done. David is well beyond where he has gotten right with God about what he has done in his past. And David has gotten over what he has done. He gives us the beautiful reading. Is it Psalm 51? Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. He has moved on. He has gotten over it. Ahithophel has not gotten over what David has done. If you go to 2 Samuel chapter number 7, you see this personal quest of Ahithophel. 2 Samuel 17 is the reading. 2 Samuel chapter number 17. It says this in verse 1, moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee. He's now going to turn from counselor to assassin. And he says, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all return, so all the people shall be in peace. This has gotten so personal for Ahithophel, so consuming to Ahithophel. He has used Absalom to throw David's sin in his face, to shame his legacy in front of the entire nation by things they were doing on the palace roof, on the things they were doing on the walls of the city, not hiding anything, no privacy to it, flaunting the depravity and the sin that was going on in David's beloved city. And now Ahithophel has gone from that advice to a personal quest of vengeance and tells Absalom, let me go. Will roust all of his support, and I will personally walk in there and kill this man. Fortunately, God does hear David's prayer, and he does confound the advice. Absalom calls in a second advisor, Hushai, or something to that effect, who gives him advice opposite of Ahithophel. And Absalom says, Hushai's advice is better. Let's go with that. In verse 23 of this same chapter, it says, when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died. What a tragic, bitter end to his story. The only person Ahithophel finds his bitterness consuming is himself. And there's such this personal pursuit. You see it in Psalm 55, David saying, look at the deepness of the hurt. How could you, my friend, do this to me? How could you, my trusted companion, the one that we took sweet counsel together and joined hands and worshiped together, how could you turn and commit treason and advise my son to do these great atrocities? That's what we see in Psalm 55. But in the whole picture, if you go to 2 Samuel 23, we see David's hands are not clean in the matter. This story, ultimately, we're just looking at some thoughts tonight. It's very quick to see here as I read this that David and Ahithophel have lived a life for at least a season now where they are swapping injuries. They are wounding each other. Neither one had clean hands in the matter. Both sides have betrayed the other. You say, well, I see where Ahithophel betrayed his king. How do you go from being the confidant and the companion of the king to advising his son to be a fornicator and to go into a position to say, I'll kill him myself, to your life ending in suicide? You have to rewind the history of the story to when David is a king who does not go to battle when it's time to go to battle. And he walks upon the wall of the palace and he sees a woman washing herself, and he calls and he gets that woman to come. He commits adultery and then he commits fornication. I mean, he commits fornication, adultery, and commits murder to cover it all up. All because he wants this woman named Bathsheba. And in 2 Samuel 17, verse 23, it gives us this. I mean, chapter 23, if I said that backwards, verse 34. In the chapter here, David's listing his mighty men and the different feats that they have done. As you go into the later part here of the chapter, he lists several names in a row of his other mighty men. And he says this in 2 Samuel 23, 34. Eliphelet, the son of Ahasbi, the son of Machathite. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. So you find out that Eliam is the son of Ahithophel. Ahithophel, the companion and the confidant of David. Close friends and trusted people. And Ahithophel has a son named Eliam. And without going there, we could. Let's just offer tonight. If you go to the text and read that story of David and Bathsheba, and he inquires, who is this woman? He finds out she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam. And all of a sudden, Psalm 55 and 2 Samuel 17, 23 make more sense. When you realize that Ahithophel, the loyal friend of the king, comes home and finds out his granddaughter's committing adultery with another man, fornicating with another man, and then this man had her husband killed. And then to find out the man who did it was your king. And Ahithophel, I don't believe, ever got over what his king did to his granddaughter and his grandson-in-law. And the wounds were so deep in the life of Ahithophel, he becomes overwhelmed and consumed to the point he will kill the man he would have at one time died for. And because he cannot get his vengeance satisfied, he takes his own life. And you find out this isn't just David who's been injured. David's being injured by a man he injured. And they have betrayed each other in different ways. All I'm trying to say, and I hope the Lord helps us, is in Psalm 55, David addresses the wounds he receives this way. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. David says, here is what I have learned on how to take the deepest, most grievous wounds I have sustained. The only way I will be able to heal from this or not hurt others from this is to commit these things to God. Let God handle it. In Ahithophel's life, he decides, I'm going to do something about this myself. And it becomes his bitter end. I would say this as a side note. Far after your sin stops hurting you, it may still be hurting somebody else. Those that even know any idea what I was referencing at the beginning, I'm not referring to the other party. I have said and done things. I know I'm on a live stream, I'll be careful, that have caused great wounds and injuries to people. Without going into all the specifics, although I have with many of our church members, a dozen years ago, I moved my wife to the state of Maine against her parents' wishes. We got married. It was under the counsel or the approval of our men of God because of the situation she was in. It wasn't good. And she needed to move. She was in her 20s, making a decision to be independent and to go on with her life and try to heal from some of the abuse she was raised in. And the Lord was just showing me this, that I can get all bent out of shape and get upset like David. And David said, the only way I'm going to have any hope in this is if I say, God, here it is, and you're going to have to do something. Ahithophel said, I'm going to do something about this. And the root of bitterness springing up defiled many. There's now kids without their dad. There's now grandkids that live their life without their grandfather, Ahithophel. There's now no chance of restoration between him and David because a man got so consumed with the betrayal and the hurts in his life. And I'm saying neither party, David or Ahithophel, were right. David had greatly wounded Ahithophel. David recovered from it. Ahithophel never did. I'm saying in this life, we're not always on the receiving end of hurts and betrayals. We do our fair share of hurting and betraying. But what are we going to do with it? David said, if it's me that is hurt and betrayed, I'm going to go to God and say, create a new heart in me. Renew a right spirit. All those things that he says in Psalms 51, he gets it right with the Lord. And that's all in our life and our 12 years together we've been able to do. Let's go back and try to make things right between God and other people. Then Ahithophel says, I'm going to handle this. I'm going to make something happen about this. I will see vengeance for this. And it killed him. All I'm trying to encourage us, if it's any encouragement at all, is we must let God carry our burdens, lest they become bitterness. And in the matter, any matters in life, that I'm willing to see a situation from both sides. It helps to be able to see this situation from both sides. If all you see is David's story, you say, how dare Ahithophel do this to his king? When you back up the history, you say, how dare a king do this to his friend? And we are all going to injure and wound and betray others. And we are all going to be wounded and injured and betrayed by others. The choice is either I go to God and I make right what I have done, and then I give to God what others have done to me, lest my burdens become my bitterness. Or I say, I'm going to make something happen. And when we try to control our fate, if you want to call it that, or the end result of our situations in life. It's a miserable, bitter existence that Ahithophel finds himself in. And David said, "Cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." Let's pray.